Ohio. Welcome back to Hino's Home Show. Another week has flown by. We are so glad that you're back with us. We are brought to you, of course, by the good folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're looking to buy a house or refinance a house, give them a shout at accuratemtg.com. They'll get you closed and back to life. Joining me, as always, is the great Steve Kenny. My new nickname for you, Steve, is Encyclopedia Steve, is joining us here today.
I like it. I'll take that.
All right. Encyclopedia Steve. If you want to know something about anything, he probably knows. He's good that way. We're going to be talking about landscaping this week, and we have got a great, great expert in the studio here with us this week. We're going to be talking with Barbara Wise of Crescent Garden. Now, Barbara is a self-professed plant nerd and dubbed the flower lady by her local community, and she's helped multiple hundreds of people with their gardening, and she's made a career out of her green thumb. She's author of a book called Container Gardening for All Seasons, and she was lovely enough to bring us copies of that. We've got three copies of that right here in the studio, and she's a contributing writer to Tennessee Gardener magazine. Barbara is also a sales and marketing consultant for Crescent Garden Company, the premier home and garden provider that has pioneered self-watering solutions that has dramatically changed the way people care for their garden. So we're very excited to have you in the studio. Barbara Wise, welcome to Hino's Home Show.
Thank you. I'm excited about being here. You are talking about my favorite thing today. So hopefully I can give you some good tips.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one of the things, especially this time of year when everybody's putting their homes on the market and they're trying to, you know, make it as perfect as possible to attract those buyers, is curb appeal. And big factors of that is the landscaping. I mean, can landscaping really make a difference in curb appeal and how people might want to buy a house?
Oh, definitely. There have been some studies done just through different universities that have shown that by adding some curb appeal, you can actually increase the value of your home by about 10%.
Wow.
That's sometimes, you know, depending on what you do. So that's a huge thing.
That is huge.
You want people when they're driving by, because a lot of times they're not looking just at the house. They may be driving by the mailbox. They don't see the house because it's behind trees or something. You want something that'll just grab them.
Yeah.
So adding those little touches around the mailbox, in your walkway going up.
Actually, that's what I was going to ask you. What are some of the things that make the biggest impact as far as curb appeal goes?
There are several things. One that you want to make sure that you do is have the yard, lawn, the shrubs look neat. So taking that little extra step of, you know, just edging all your curbs around your grass, keeping the grass mowed.
Or the weeds, keeping the weeds mowed.
Yeah, definitely keeping the weeds mowed. So just that first
step. As long
as
it's green, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So kind of like inside the house, you know, you want things to be clean. And this is the way you make your yard clean. So you just have things look really neat. One of the easiest things for you to do is to put planters out and fill them full of, you know, bright, colorful flowers. You know, have them planted up with seasonal flowers. So, you know, during the summer, you're going to want to have some bright, you know, reds and oranges and yellows and things in a big container. You put those by your front door. You put them at the bottom of your steps. Maybe you have something out by your mailbox. That's a quick, easy thing that somebody can do that just immediately will grab attention to the house. The other thing is, you know, invest in a little annual flowers, you know, around in the ground. If you've got a little area that you can put little pops of color.
I had this idea years ago, and I'm amazed nobody's snapped up this idea. You know, for people do home staging for the inside of the house, and they'll rent an entire house full of furniture to stage it. Why don't they do that for front yards? Somebody just shows up with all the plants, stages your front yard, and then once the house is sold, they yank it all back. You know,
that's actually a great idea.
Thank you. 1% royalty, I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I think we'll have to share the royalty because I've actually talked to some realtors about this.
Yeah.
That especially with using a self-watering planter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can take some planters, put them out in front of the house. With a self-watering option, you're not having to water them. Obviously, self-watering means you have to add water at some time.
At some point, yeah. There has to be water in the mix.
Yeah.
Well, with my plant staging idea, I was picturing all like fake plants. so that they would look great. It's like, man, it's December and this guy's got an amazing garden. You know?
Okay. I got to tell you a quick story about that.
Okay.
So when I first started doing this and was doing annual flowers and doing hundreds of thousands of flats of annual flowers for all these big commercial areas, I had the owner of the company said, I want yards to look like this place that's in Cool Springs.
Okay.
And they had their flowers look beautiful all the time. And he said, I drive by there at 50 miles an hour, so I can't really, would you go over there and see what it is? What have they done that's different? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, now, you know, I've got to figure out the secret of what they've done. I went by that place. They were fake flowers.
Nice.
Wow.
Fake flowers. Fake pansies that they had stuck in the ground. I couldn't
That's brilliant.
Believe.
Yeah, right. I just would picture, I love to picture the home buyer the day after closing when they show up to the house and it's completely bare in the front yard. Yes. They're like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All I can picture is showing up after closing and some guy's rolling up the lawn.
Yes.
Folding it and putting it in the truck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So what are some of the biggest bang for your buck things that you can do? Things that aren't terribly expensive. I'm guessing pansies aren't too expensive, you know?
Yeah.
It probably doesn't even necessarily need to be plants even, right?
So even if you just, and this is not a very expensive thing to do, but just fertilizing your lawn, you know, going in spreading some fertilizer so it greens up.
Yeah. And you probably need to do that a few couple of weeks at least before you put the house on the market.
Yes,
so that it gives it time to.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. haven't you heard that there's like green spray paint so you can spray paint your lawn?
You know, another thing that you know, just again, kind of a quick thing to do is, you know, whatever the season is in the wintertime or, you know, late fall, you can put mums, you can put pansies. Also, if you're planning on putting your home on the market in the spring.
Yeah.
And you're thinking that, and I don't know how many people think this far ahead, but, you know, planting bulbs so that you've got tulips or daffodils coming up.
Okay.
That's just a warm, fuzzy feeling that people, you know, there's something about the tulips, there's something about the daffodils that just kind of is very inviting to people. So, spin that in.
So, that's kind of like the Goldilocks, like what you can do that's just right to get landscaping in, do some bulbs early, do some of the trim work. Is it possible to go way overboard?
You're talking to somebody who loves plants.
Okay, that's so fair.
Like,
that's
is fair. It possible to have too many animals at the zoo?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, come on,
I know. The more plants, the merrier.
Well, how about this? Are there any things that you have found that turn off potential buyers that you maybe want to steer away from?
Yes. So if you're going to do planters on a porch.
Leave a path to walk.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Don't have the, I think at one time I had something like 32 planters in my yard until my husband told me it was either him or the plant or a few planters had to go. So,
oh boy.
You know, that might be a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But if you're going to put them up, especially on a porch, you know, patio or something like that, use a saucer underneath it because one of the things that can kind of turn people off when they get up there and they hear this beautiful planter, but there's this big stain of water stain that's come out and it's stained the, you know, the concrete or the wood or something like that. So use a saucer. It's a very simple thing, but so that would be a little do or don't. Also, you know, don't plant a bunch of plants, you know, somewhere and then forget to water them.
Yeah.
Dead plants.
I can't tell you how many times, you know, people go, okay, we're going to do all this. And then, you know, we'll have a hot wave like we had the last couple of weeks and people forget and, you know, they drive up and there's a bunch of dead plants.
Yeah. What about backyard appeal? I mean, everybody thinks about the front yard as curb appeal, but what about the backyard? What can you do to make that appealing?
Well, one of the things that is so appealing about a backyard is, or that people will be drawn to is if they feel like it's a place that they could have little rooms. So, and again, it depends on the size of your home, but creating a little sitting space, even if you have a tiny little patio, you can take another part of the yard, clear it out a little bit, and maybe with some shrubs or even something like some small grasses, and create a separate little room. feeling like there's different places that they could go is such a draw for people. Also having a water feature. A water feature is a huge thing. And by water feature, it can be something as simple as a little fountain that's just bubbling, or you could go all out and have, you know, a little river that runs through or something. Okay. There's all kinds of things that you can do.
Just an Evian bottle kind of sitting on the table.
Exactly.
What's that? It's my water feature.
That's right. A water feature.
Yeah. Any advice on what to look for if you're wanting to hire a landscaper and or you have questions as a homeowner of what you should do, somebody to help you do that?
One of the things that you should do first is if you're doing your backyard with or doing your yard with someone else, a spouse or significant other, make sure you talk about what you want to do before you talk to the landscaper.
I sense some personal experience in that answer.
I used to think I need to have my title should be landscape designer / marriage counselor.
Okay.
There was one time I was talking with a couple and I was showing them some different pictures and the lady was going, "Oh, I love this. I love all this pink. These pink flowers." And the husband was standing on the other side and he goes, "I don't like pink." And so we talked about something else and she said, "Oh, but look over here." And then we could do some pink chairs over here to kind of tie in, because I was talking about doing color echo where you echo the colors around. And he goes, "I don't like pink." And that happened like 3 times, you know, where he was just, so obviously they hadn't talked about, you know, what they liked and didn't like. So just having a little discussion beforehand.
Say, how about yellow? Let's do yellow.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Everybody loves yellow.
Exactly. Or burgundy. Burgundy is a little bit more of a manly pink or something.
I do love a good burgundy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're talking about plants? Okay, sorry.
That might have helped in too, having a little burgundy.
All right, well, that's a perfect spot to take a quick break. We are talking with Barbara Wise about gardening and curb appeal and the great things you can do to make your house look beautiful on the outside. So come on back to Hino's Home Show. Yeah, welcome back to Hino's Home Show. We like to do a little gardening around here. That's what we're talking about this week. We've got an expert in the studio with us. We've got author of Container Gardening for All Seasons, Barbara Wise, joining us. And of course, we've got Encyclopedia Steve, his brand new nickname. Encyclopedia Steve is also here with us. And we are brought to you by the good folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're looking to buy a house or refinance a house, give them a shout at accuratemtg.com and they'll get you closed and back to life. So Barbara, when the police talk about safety, you know, they're usually talking about locking your doors and that kind of thing, but talk about ways that you can kind of help protect your house a little bit with landscaping.
Yeah. One of the things that you want to make sure you don't have next to your doors are big bushes, you know, something, even if it's big clumps of grass, something that somebody could hide behind as you walk up to your door. So a lot of times people want to have a big accent thing there by their front doors or by their front walkways, but you really want to keep that low by all of your entrances, just so that there's not a place that somebody can, I know it's hard to think of it, that somebody would do that, but yeah, that's a real easy way for somebody to hide. Another thing is landscape lighting. You do want to look at ways, and you can do that as simple as a solar lighting. If you've got sunshine, if you've got a real shady area, you don't want the solar lighting.
Right.
That won't work. So if you have an area that you're really, if you're worried about people coming in and out of your windows, is that something that you're really concerned about? You can make sure that you plant something prickly there. Things like your holly trees.
Yeah, we have that. Yeah. And I curse that thing every time it's time to trim it or a ball goes in there and I need to go in and get it, you know, because it hurts.
But has anybody ever snuck in your window? Huh?
No.
There you go.
So far, let's knock on something, you know.
It's also great if you have teenagers, you know, that kind of discourages them from sneaking out the windows.
Okay.
You know, so you kind of have that other side of that.
Okay. But, I just nail all the windows shut. You know,
there you go.
No,
yes. Yeah.
No, I
don't.
You
know, it's funny. When my wife and I moved into our new house, it's got one of the security systems that every time you open the door or open a window, it dings.
Yep.
And I told her it drives me nuts. And she's like, listen, honey, once we have kids, you're going to love the fact that that thing beeps.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah. You just want to know what's going on.
This is true.
Well, I'm guessing from what you said, you probably don't want trellises or anything that's easy to climb to get up to a second story window or that kind of thing.
That's right. All we have to do is watch a few chick flick movies and you'll see the, you know, or teenage movies of the guys climbing up the trellises and that kind of thing.
Right.
So, yeah. Or Peeping Tom in the tree.
Yes. Yeah, this is true. You just, And the way you do that is you limb up your trees. So if you want that tree close to your house, you know, where you've got a nice shade, which you do, I'm going to throw this plug in here for energy saving. You want to plant trees on the west side and south side of your home because they will help block the sun. And you can sit, I wish I remember the savings, but you save something like 20 to 30% on your energy bill by having a tree that will shade that late afternoon sun.
Okay. Wow. But like you were saying, limbs trimmed up from the bottom part so that you can't climb it so easily.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. One of the problems I have with my yard, and we joked about this earlier, but I actually do have a problem with my lawn, and that is that it looks great in the spring, and then no matter how much I water it, it just looks awful in the summer when it gets like right about now.
Yeah.
It's just... It just always turns brown, and I don't know what to do about that. If there's a special kind of grass that I need to find that stays green, it's a fescue type of grass.
Right.
And I know those like cool weather mostly.
Yeah, so you could definitely go with a Bermuda grass. Again, people love it or they hate it, but it will stay green. I would rather have brown grass than have Bermuda grass.
I grew up with Bermuda grass, and I'm not a big fan.
Yes,
not a big fan.
Okay, you're going to have to explain it to me. Why don't people like Bermuda grass?
It's just kind of ugly. I mean, I think if you've got Bermuda grass out there and you like it, then awesome. Yeah. But for me, it's prickly. It's not soft on your feet, you know, and it just kind of just doesn't look really nice.
Yeah, okay, I could agree with that.
And it takes over. I mean,
it's like a weed.
It'll go into all your beds. It sends roots underground, and you definitely just need to go with a more of a warm weather grass.
Okay. I was afraid you were going to say that.
I know.
Now, when we were talking about having your house burglarized, what about being burglarized by the animal kingdom?
Ooh,
you know, where they come in and they start eating on your plants that you've worked so hard to plant. What do you do for that? Like rabbits and deer and that kind of thing?
The best thing is a big dog that stays outside all the time.
Okay.
Or a loud one, probably.
And it is, that's probably one of the hardest things to deal with because so many of the things that people love, they love their hydrangeas, they love, you know, all the, even roses and things like that, the deer will eat.
Mm.
So the things that deer try to stay away from are things that have a texture like fuzzy leaves or even prickly leaves. You know, you would think thorns on a rose would keep deer away, but they know how to eat around and eat the flowers and then leave the thorns alone. But prickly leaves, fuzzy leaves. I'm a strong believer in and having really good resources because I know just enough to be able to help people, and then I know where to send them. And one of my favorite references is Ruth Clawson's 50 Beautiful Deer Resistant Plants. And she is a landscape designer, architect, and she'd probably kill me for telling you this. She's in her 80s, but she's been doing this for 60-something years.
Okay.
And so she's just very, very knowledgeable. But this book is a great reference.
Well, that's interesting because we did have a question from listener Angie in Nashville, and she said, what plants will deer not eat that are also colorful? So we can steer her towards this book, 50 Beautiful Deer-Resistant Plants. And what was the author's name again?
Ruth Rogers Clawson.
Okay. Do you happen to know of at least one plant that are colorful that deer will not eat?
Lantana.
Lantana.
Mm-hmm. Now, that is an annual, so you have to plant it every year.
Okay.
But... What do you
not want to plant that, you know, you don't want to find a dead deer in your front yard? You know, what will they eat maybe that they shouldn't and that you also shouldn't plant?
Well, as far as deer, I don't know why, but they seem to be able to eat anything. But there are things that are more poisonous to things like your dogs.
Okay.
You know, any of your bulbs are tend to be a little bit, you know, if you have a dog that digs up and eats bulbs, you know, hyacinth bulbs are not good for them. Daffodils, any of your bulbs, you just want to, if you have a dog that digs, you don't want to have bulbs in that area.
Or you won't have bulbs.
Or you,
either way.
That's right. Yeah.
Either you take them out now or the dog will take them out later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, hydrangeas are also known for, but it, you know, I don't know a whole lot of dogs that eat hydrangeas, honestly, you know. But if you're really worried, if you've got one of those $4,000 dogs, you know, keep them away from your hydrangeas.
I don't have a $4,000 dog.
Me neither.
But there are, back to deer, there are some really good products that you can, you know, that you can use. Mill Organite is a granular, and you can spread that around. It's, I think it's a byproduct of like sewage or something like that. So you,
nice.
You might want to wear your gloves.
Okay.
I mean, it's purified or whatever they do to it, but that helps a lot, and it's also really good for the soil. So you want to put that around, if you've got a vegetable garden, you can sprinkle it around the outside of the vegetable garden. It helps keep away the deer and the rabbits. And then there are all kinds of good products. Deer Off is another one, but if you go to any of your good garden centers, you know, your local garden centers, they will have their favorite that they love to talk about.
Sure, sure.
So,
well, how about when you plant certain things, like tomatoes, for example? Mm-hmm. I've heard that there are certain things you can plant next to tomatoes,
yes,
that help keep bugs and other critters, mm-hmm, away from the tomato. What are some combinations that are good like that?
Yeah, so in your vegetable garden, in any vegetable garden, having marigolds around is a good thing.
Okay.
One of the things it does is it brings the beneficial insects in. And so the beneficial insects will usually attack the worst ones. Borage is a herb that's also really great to plant with strawberries.
Borage. I've never heard of that. Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's a pretty little herb, and I can't.
I mean, can you use it in cooking and, mm-hmm, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you can. I've never used it.
I've never seen that on the supermarket shelf.
Yeah.
Borage.
Yes.
Okay.
But it is an herb, and it's got a beautiful little blue flower, but I plant it with my strawberries.
Okay.
So you want it with, but you can also plant it with lots of other things. Also, beans are a good companion plant. You know, like your bush beans are also a good companion plant with a lot of your other things. Basil is a great one.
Mm.
But one of the things, back to marigolds, one of the things that's kind of interesting about marigolds, if you have problems with things in your soil that, you know, like a virus or a pathogen or something, the roots of the marigolds will actually absorb some of those pathogens. And so it helps draw the bad things away. So,
wow,
marigolds are, again, they're an old-fashioned flower, and they're really some cool different, yeah, ones that you can do, but it's a very good flower to have in your
mentioned tomatoes. What is the plant that you should plant next to tomatoes to help keep them healthy?
Basil is one
basil?
Of the best. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the best ones.
And then you put them on the plate together too.
Yes, that's, you do.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
That's a great tip. I love, yeah, that. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back. We're going to talk a whole lot more landscaping with, excuse me, Barbara Wise here on Hino's Home Show. Welcome back to Hino's Home Show. We all love buttercups. We are talking gardening and landscaping and that kind of thing. We've got a special guest in the studio here with us. We've got Barbara Wise, author of Container Gardening for All Seasons. And before I forget to tell you, we are brought to you by the good folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. They'll get you closed and back to life if you're looking to refinance a house or buy a house. Go find them at accuratemtg.com. And Steve Kenny Excuse me. And Encyclopedia Steve there Kenny is also joining us here in the studio.
There you go. Don't forget it.
I almost forgot your new nickname.
I think I'm going to go with Cyclo Steve.
Cyclo.
Oh, I like that one.
Because encyclopedias, you know, you might, by the time you say that, you already walked away. So
yeah, and it's just this close to psycho, and it just kind of works. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. It makes me sound hip and cool because I need a lot of help with that.
There we go.
Well, Barbara, lots of stuff is being done virtually these days. Are there virtual consultations that you can do with a landscaping person to, you know, kind of figure out what you need to do?
You sure can.
Really?
I love Zoom, and I love that you can Zoom on your phone, and you can actually walk around your yard and show what's going on in your yard. Probably the main thing when you do something like that is that's hard for the landscaper to grasp is the square footage. So you'll need to go ahead and measure things ahead of time so that, you know,
it's hard to kind of know, you know, is that 20 feet? Is it 10 feet?
Exactly.
How is that? Yeah.
So they want to measure. And then also another thing that people forget to tell their landscaper is what the sun does in their house. Giving them an idea of like, oh, we have this one tree in the neighbor's yard that blocks all the morning sun. Or, you know, we have no trees in the west, and so the whole backyard or whole front yard gets full sun. So those kind of things are really important to pass on, even if you're Zooming.
Any idea what that type of consultation would cost somebody?
You're looking anywhere from about $75 to $250, depending on the expertise of that person. And sometimes a consultation will be free if that person ends up drawing a design for them. So
yeah, if you actually do business with them.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Now, what are we looking at as far as cost for some typical projects that you may take on? I mean, I'm going to be honest. I've never done landscaping before. I've helped a little bit around the house. I mow the lawn or used to mow the lawn. I don't anymore. But for typical things that you may do for someone, give us kind of like a rough idea of what you're looking at for a budget to do, you know, hardscaping or something else that you do pretty commonly.
Yeah. You could start with a simple little backyard patio addition and maybe $2,000 or $3,000 to you want a little kitchen in there and
built-in barbecue.
Built-in fireplace, and you're looking at $15,000-$20,000 kind of thing. It's not unusual to spend close to $50,000 or $60,000 on a really nice landscape. That's kind of a low number, actually.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Now that's having somebody come in and do everything for
you. Okay. Probably irrigation, the whole works. Yeah.
Yeah. Cyclo Steve, you look like you could probably do lots of work yourself if somebody told you what you wanted to do. So, you know, if you're willing to get out there and have somebody give you a plan and say, they tell you, you plant this here, you plant this there.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that. So when I'm trying to learn to cook, you know, everybody's stuck at home, so we're just trying to learn something. So when my wife and I are in the kitchen together, I tell her, you have to give me directions. If you tell me what to do, I can make it happen. But if you just tell me to grab a bowl, you know, do I need a big bowl, a small bowl? Like, what kind of bowl are we looking for?
What color does it need to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Oval be okay?
Right. So, you know, I totally agree with you. I probably could do some landscaping if I had some direction. So you kind of alluded to this earlier. Is that something that you do for a lot of people where you'll give them a design and kind of give them some directions and say, okay, you know, I'm going to help you with the design, but here you go, you do it yourself.
So I used to do that. And now I just work for Crescent Garden and I work with them. I'm just a pot lady right now, you know, which my...
That's
my,
a funny way to say
that. And
we're
not even in Colorado. I know. I mean, amazing. Yeah.
My four sons love to tell everybody their mom is a pot dealer.
Okay.
And then I have to tell them that it's, you know, the kind you grow flowers in.
Okay.
They're all disappointed. But
well, but when you were doing that and somebody came to you and they said, okay, I'm brand new at this. I want to try my hand at gardening. Mm-hmm. How do you get them started? What kind of things do you do to help them get ease into it?
That's a really good question because that's, and I love that kind of person who really wants to try to do things themselves. And so one of the things I love to do is make sure they have good resources that they can draw on themselves. I'll draw them up a plan. I'll tell them, okay, you want to start with this, this, and this. But most of those type of people want to learn more and do it on their own. And so I've actually got a couple of really good, these are kind of the books that I would say, if you want to learn about gardening and you want to start doing it yourself, you want to have these on your bookshelf. Judy Lowe has two great books about Tennessee gardening. The Tennessee Gardener's Guide is a book that just has different plants.
Specific to here.
It's a great one. She also has a month-by-month gardening book that's called Gardening in Tennessee and Kentucky, and so it tells you every month things that you can do. Again, these are Bibles for the new gardener. You want to have those.
Speaking of books, because you quite literally wrote the book on container gardening, what is container gardening exactly? And I mean, has it been around a while? Is it a new thing?
So when I first started doing just container gardening, and I had started doing this, and this company had asked me to come, our garden show had asked me to come out and speak about all the container. And so I was so excited, and I was telling one of my good friends, oh, I'm going to go speak on container gardening. And she looked at me and she goes, what are you going to talk about? Isn't that just like putting plants in a pot? And and I went, you know, as my bubble started to slowly burst, I thought, well, there is a little bit more about it. So it has been a thing for a long time, and it's become more and more popular as people have smaller spaces, and so you can use a container to grow a little vegetable garden on your condo patio. You can grow, herbs. You can grow lettuces. You can grow a couple of tomatoes. So having a container is a great option for a lot of people who don't have a yard to work in. And as we have more people in cities and stuff like that, so that's one of the reasons that's really grown. Also, people are busy, and so they don't want to take the time to get out and till their land and do all these fancy things. But it's kind of a creative, artistic way for some people to just do something beautiful in one tiny little spot and create something beautiful. And then they've got their green shrubs everywhere else, but they can create, you know, an impact of color, you know, with a container.
Can you use container gardening if you do have a yard as a landscaping technique?
Yes. Using containers is a great way. There's several things that you can do. One, you can use containers to create little rooms. You know, you can put planters out in your backyard and to block off areas. You can also use them to kind of lead a path or lead you down a path. You can have them lining up, you know, along a way. You can also use if you have a really cool old planter, or, you know, you find something that maybe that was your grandmother's or, you know, great aunt's or something like that. And put it having a focal point in your yard is a beautiful thing.
I'm guessing you wouldn't recommend the stereotypical old toilet with some plants in it.
Or the tire.
The tire with some old plants in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
I think that falls under the no-nos section of
probably
your book.
Probably in a lot of neighborhoods, too. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
You know, we've mentioned mostly outdoor landscaping. What about for people who want to do something inside their home or their apartment? Is that doable?
Oh, my gosh. That is the hot thing right now. Indoor plants.
Look at you, Encyclopedia Steve.
I know. Wow. Look at you. I would think that would have almost was a leading question, because that, you know, that really is a hot thing. And there are so many things that you can do inside. You know, house plants are huge. The biggest thing with house plants is to make sure that you have the right lighting for them. You know, and it's kind of like with any kind of plants, you just need to make sure you read up about it and go, okay, this plant really needs to have some bright light, or this plant, you know, can be fine. You can put pothos, which is an indoor plant that you can put that in a bathroom with hardly any light in it, and it'll live. But you couldn't do that with a lot of other plants. So
okay.
You probably also need to make sure that if you've got things like cats, that they aren't going to die from it, mm-hmm. or maybe that they will die from it. I mean, it just depends on how you feel about cats, I guess.
Oh, man. Go down a rabbit trail on that one. Literally.
Oh, man.
So another thing.
I say that because my wife's not listening. I know she's not listening. We have three cats, so.
So also remember, when you do the indoor plants, you either want something that's called a cash pot, which is sounds like something that everybody would love as a cash pot, but
or a money tree.
Yes, yeah, CACHE cash pot, and that's a planter that doesn't have a hole in it. But you don't plant in that. You put another plant you know, you have another little pot that you put in there. And the reason you do that is so that you're protecting whatever surface. You know, you don't want to put it on your beautiful wood, you know.
So anything that might leak out of it just goes into the rest of the soil in the bigger pot and protects your floors. And, okay.
And or just make sure you've got a saucer.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to have to take a quick break right now, but we're going to come back. We're going to get some of your listener questions answered that we've received over email and over Facebook over the last week about landscaping. So you come on back to Hino's Home Show. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Hino's Home Show. Sowing the seeds of love, Tears for Fears. I love that song. We're sowing some landscaping here on Hino's Home Show this week. We've got a great expert here. We got Barbara Wise, author of Container Gardening for All Seasons. She knows quite a lot about gardening. We are brought to you by the folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're looking to buy a house or refinance a house, do give them a shout at accuratemtg.com and they'll get you closed and back to life. Encyclopedia Steve is joining us as always here in the studio. And we got some listener questions. We got one actually from listener Fred out in Springfield, Tennessee that might need a little bit of explaining because he actually sent some photos along. And I think we sent those photos over to you, so you've seen them. But he basically says that, look, our house is 122 years old and has maturity, put that in quotation marks, mature landscaping that's totally out of control, and he has no idea where to start. He says, my wife doesn't particularly like the shrubs along the front walk. Should we just remove them and start over?
Yes.
Okay, question answered. All right, thanks for...
I looked at that picture, and I thought, oh, my gosh. He needs to remove all those shrubs.
Okay.
So even before I even read through the whole thing. So definitely needs to get rid of them.
All right, listener Fred, there's your answer. You better get the shovel out and start pulling them up.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to start fresh.
I guess so. Well, we got Scott in Fairview. He says, what's the fastest and easiest thing to grow on a sunny but rocky dirt hillside? His vinca is not taking off the way he'd like.
Okay, vinca is a little slow, but once it gets...
Well, let's start off with what the heck is vinca?
that's a great thing. And, you know, there actually are, you have vinca minor and vinca major.
Okay.
And I'm sure he's talking about the vinca that's like a little vine. It does take a little bit for it. It's one of those sleeper, creeper, then it takes off kind of thing. So if he wants to give it some time, he can. Another thing is something called winter creeper. It's actually really pretty because it turns kind of a reddish color in the wintertime, and that holds the soil, and that can handle, you know, that bright light. He said it was really, really sunny.
Yeah.
He didn't have to just do the one vinca. Like, I would mix some daylilies in there, maybe some irises, and again, those are just good things that will give him some color. They love all that sun.
And it'll help keep the whole hillside together.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So mix up with some of these little, you know, some perennials that are good, just dig in. Because if you've ever tried to dig out daylilies or, you know, actually irises are pretty easy to dig out, but they will hold the soil there too. So.
All right. Well, we've got a question from listener Steve, who just happens to be in there in the studio here with us. So, Steve, what was your question?
I thought my nickname was Encyclopedia Steve.
Well,
listener Steve.
Now for the purposes of your question, you're Encyclopedia Listener Steve. Okay.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Well, so for the people listening who obviously can't see us here in the studio, Barbara has to be the definition of prepared. She came in with a stack of books that is higher than I have seen since I graduated from college. So I give you a lot of props for that. So I feel very comfortable asking this question because I'm sure you're going to have an answer. For somebody like me who is a novice at this, do you have any resources of where they should start? Like, I just decide, hey, I bought a house. I want to get into landscaping and learn some things. Where do they start?
I am so glad you asked me that because I really wanted to pull out my books, my stack of books here, and one of the best books for you to use, the 2030 something garden guide. It's by a lady named Dee Nash, and she makes no assumptions that you know anything in this book. So it's really a great book for somebody who like you, you know, somebody like yeah. listener encycl or is it encyclopedia listener, Steve?
Anyway, yeah, whatever. I don't know. It's an evolving nickname. Yeah, so yeah.
Soon it'll be Gardner Steve.
Ooh. Yeah, there we go.
After you read this book and you learn, but she doesn't assume that you know anything, and so it just starts with even explaining some of you know what does it mean to till the soil and that kind of thing. But it gives you lots of, and it's not wordy. I mean, it's just basically you look through and you find what you're trying to do.
That's a perfect book for Steve. Lots of big pictures.
It is. A picture book for you, Steve.
Large type, not a whole lot of words. Yeah.
Does
perfect.
It come with a pack of crayons so I can color it too?
Yeah. All right, what else we got in the mailbag there, Steve?
Josie from Franklin says, why are some of my bougainvillea blooming and others are not when they're getting equal sun and water?
So my first question would be, are they really getting exactly the same amount of water and sun? Bougainvillea do have a tendency to bloom and rest and bloom and rest. So if they're different types, one may be blooming and then resting, and so they're just gonna do that. They're gonna bloom and rest. Wow. And bloom
their
and rest.
Cycles aren't in sync.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They like to be a little bit on the dry side, but then you want to water them really well, because when you pull back the water a little bit, you let them dry out just enough to where they're maybe not starting to wilt, but anyway, the soil is really dry. That kind of stresses them out, and that causes them to bloom more. So if you're watering them too much, then you could be keeping them from blooming.
That might be the problem with that one plant I mentioned earlier that we're watering too much. It's, yes. It's green, but no flowers.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Well, okay, so now listener Steve has another question. So you just mentioned about cycles, you know, and plants can be on different cycles. When you're doing a lawn or a landscape, I guess, do you try and plant different things so that they bloom at different times throughout the year, so that way you have something different happening all year?
Oh, listen, that is like one of my favorite things to do. And so, you know, y'all didn't know this, but I am a songwriter. And
what?
In Nashville?
Get out of here.
I know. Like
next thing you know, you're going to tell me you play the guitar.
Well, here we go. So what I love is that you basically create a symphony with your lawn. And so when I envision a lawn, I want to hear, I want to see like the beginning, the introduction there. And I want to see the strings come in. And, so there's something kind of going on in your lawn throughout the year. And so that you basically have highlights, you know, and you have, and your chorus are the things that are kind of your consistent things that just are always green or are always, doing something interesting in your yard. So, you know, that would be kind of your consistency. But then you have other things that are blooming or other things nice. That are changing color yeah. at different times. So that was a very long answer to yes, you want something going on in your yard all throughout the seasons. And that's something nice. I love to do.
I really like that analogy, too, of almost conducting an orchestra. You know, you've got different things happening at different times. That's that's a really cool way to look at it.
Yeah.
Well, Billy emails. He says, what is the fastest growing shade tree? He wants to add some shade.
Well, here, the Tennessee, the state tree is called a tulip poplar. And that's a very good, fast growing tree. It does well here, you know, because it's our state tree. So I would recommend a tulip poplar.
Nice. Okay, good deal. Well, this next question comes from Jason, and it's a question that I would have as well. So he says, are carpenter bees important to your garden? They're destroying my wood, and I'd like to eliminate them.
I hate carpenter bees.
Okay. It's not just Jason and me. No. Okay, well, tell us how to get rid of them.
Well, that is actually what we're dealing with at my house, too. So we just are putting those
The little traps
in there. Okay. And then, you know.
So do they pollinate? I mean, do they help pollinate your garden? Are they useful that way?
I mean, in any of your bees are going to help pollinate. You know, they're a pollinator, but no, they're not. You would be fine without a carpenter bee.
Okay.
I wonder really about the purpose of karma. Now, there's probably going to be an entomologist who's going to who's going to write you and go, why did Barbara say Carpenter Bee? Yeah. But anyway.
Well, this segment is brought to you by the Gardener and Carpenter Bee Association. So, no, I'm kidding. last question. We got Cheryl. She emails in and says, how do you get rid of fungus in mulch? Is there some sort of spray that you can use, or do you have to dig it out and replace it?
No, don't worry about it. You don't. You know, fungus in your mulch is just going to be a common thing that you have, and it's not going to hurt anything. I mean, there's all kinds of really. In fact, if you want to just, you know, really entertain your kids, you can go show them like the, I think it's called dog vomit fungus, and
nice, you know, okay.
So they're just going to be funguses that are out there, and don't do anything about them.
Really? So it's not going to hurt your plants? It's not going to do anything like that?
No, because your mulch is breaking down, and that's where the fungus, you know, that's where your fungus is coming up from.
Okay. So if you just don't like it, maybe turn it over to the other side or something. Yeah.
Or just look away.
Just look look away. Oh, man. Well, listen, we've had a great time with you. Where's a good place that people can find you? How do they get in contact with you?
Oh, golly. I'm not going to give you that because I'm going to go back and hide in my garden.
All right.
Just kidding. Actually, if they have questions, you know, they can go to the Crescent Garden website.
Perfect. And they can reach out to you that way.
Yeah.
And where can they find your book, Container Gardening for All Seasons?
It's on Amazon.
Okay.
And some of the, let's see, some of the garden centers around here have it also, but Barnes & Noble, is Barnes & Noble even?
Yeah, there's still one in Cool Springs. I know. Yeah. I pass it all the time, so I know it's there. But Container Gardening for All Seasons, you can find it at Amazon. You can find us at HeinosHomeShow.com. We would love to hear from you if you got any other questions for upcoming shows. Keep an eye on our Facebook page. We're always posting things that we're going to be talking about on upcoming shows, and we'd love to hear from you. So until we see you next time, thanks for listening to Heinos Home Show.
Accurate Mortgage Group, a division of Acopia LLC, is an equal housing lender, NMLS 4664, and a Moeller, NMLS 1666140.